John 11. I know that's not the typical Easter Sunday morning text, but I came up with this about 3 or 4 weeks ago when we were reading through this. So why don't you turn in your Bibles in John 11. We're going to read a lot from John 11, so get your Bibles out, get your iPad, your phones out, whatever you got your Bible text on, because I want you to follow along. And as I was reading in this the other day, a couple weeks back, it just kind of caught my eye about the fact that Jesus displayed the power of the resurrection over a week or so before he died and would rise again. And just kind of, I just never really quite made that connection before, about the power of Jesus before he died and the power after he died. So let's look at John chapter 11, and we're looking at the story of Jesus raising Lazarus. This is raising him from the dead. This is not like he grew up and he raised him as a little boy. That's a different kind of raising. Sorry, raising Lazarus, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now he makes this comment, that the Son of God may be glorified. There is going to be great attention drawn to Jesus by something that's going to happen in 4 days or 3 days from this point. A lot of attention is going to be thrown on Jesus. Lazarus is going to be just, I'm going to spoil the story. So just with spoiler alert, Lazarus is going to die. It's going to be bad. How bad is it? He dies. But he's also going to be raised from the dead. Another spoiler alert. And while the Jews are gathering in Jerusalem from all around the world to celebrate the Passover, and it is that Passover, the one that Jesus would die, there's going to be a whole lot of them coming out to see this man show up in town, Jesus. And why they showed up in such great numbers while he came in riding on a donkey? Well, let's just watch it.
The next day, the large crowd that had come to the Passover festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Praise God! God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord. God bless the King of Israel." Jesus found a donkey and rode on it, just as the scripture says, "Do not be afraid, city of Zion. Here comes your king, riding on a young donkey." His disciples did not understand this at the time, but when Jesus had been raised to glory, they remembered that the scripture said this about him, and that they had done this for him. The people who had been with Jesus when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from death had reported what had happened. That was why the crowd met him, because they heard he had performed this miracle. The Pharisees then said to one another,
"You see, we are not succeeding at all. Look, the whole world is following him."
So did you pick it up why the crowds were so big? It's because he had just raised Lazarus from the dead. And the people that had witnessed this, the people that had been at Lazarus' tomb and had watched Jesus call him out from the dead, they let the word out. And so on Palm Sunday, we usually don't make that connection. And you can read about this in John 12. I'm not making this up, by the way. You can read about this in John 12. This is right from the Gospel of John. There's this movie. It's called The Gospel of John. That's where these clips come from. And the reasons the crowds were so big was because he had just raised a man who had been dead for 4 days. Verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Wait. When he heard that his good friend was sick, he rushed to his... No, it says he stayed 2 more days where he was. Jesus had been down in the area of the city of Jericho, down by the Jordan River, when he gets this news. And the lesson I want to talk about, if you're taking notes, or if you're getting the downloadable notes from the website, the lesson is about loving delays. A messenger has arrived from Martha and Mary, not just to let Jesus know about Lazarus' illness, but to get him to help. And he doesn't come. In fact, he makes a point of waiting 2 more days until he does anything. So, how do you respond if you were in Mary and Martha's place? How do you respond when life doesn't turn out the way you're wanting it to? Jesus, if you would just show up right now and touch me and heal me from this stupid addiction of mine. And he seems to wait. When you have a loved one who's dying, and you want so much for God to heal them, and he doesn't show up, what do you do? Some of us act a little bit like spoiled children when life gets tough. Wait for it. As the crowded airliner is about to take off, the peace is shattered by a 5-year-old boy who picks that moment to throw a wild temper tantrum. No matter what his frustrated, embarrassed mother does to try to calm him down, the boy continues to scream furiously and kicks the seats all around him. Suddenly, from the rear of the plane, an older man in a Marine uniform is seen slowly walking forward towards up the aisle. Stopping the flustered mother with an upraised hand, the white-haired, courtly, soft-spoken Marine leans down and motions towards his chest, whispering something into the boy's ears. Instantly, the boy calms down, gently takes his mother's hand, quietly fastens his seatbelt. All the other passengers burst into spontaneous applause. As the Marine is slowly making his way back to his seat, one of the cabin attendants touches his sleeve and says, "Excuse me, sir," she asks quietly, "but could I ask what magic words you said to that little boy?" The Marine smiles serenely and gently confides, I showed him my pilot's wings, my service stars, the battle ribbons, and explained that they entitled me to throw one passenger out of the plane on any flight I choose. Now, don't misunderstand me. I am not saying that the proper way to discipline a child is by dumping milk on their head or by promising to throw them out of the plane. That's not the point here. I'm not talking about disciplining children. I'm talking about disciplining us. Because frankly, some of us respond to difficulties like spoiled children. We do. We simply do. A spoiled child throws the tantrum and because they don't get their way, and they lay the guilt trip on the parents, and they say, "Well, you don't love me. I want to have ice cream for dinner. You don't love me. Look how much you don't love me." Has anybody heard that one? No, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Yeah. How many of you have said that? Oh, no. Okay, there we go. But friends, the problem is that some of us have taken that attitude into our relationship with our papa. And we think that the difficulties we're going through are because he doesn't love us. Why did you wait so long? How come you didn't show up? How come it didn't turn out the way I wanted it to, when I wanted it to? Did Jesus love Lazarus? Well, we read in verse 3, "Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.'" The Greek word here in verse 3 is phileo. It's a word that describes a warmthness, tenderness, friendship. In fact, the New Living Translation says, "Lord, your dear friend is very sick." Your dear friend is very sick. Did Jesus love Martha and Mary? Well, in verse 5 it said, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." The Greek word here for loved is agape. That's one better. That's God's kind of unconditional love. His love demonstrated by giving his son on the cross. Oh, yes, he loved them. Be careful about interpreting the delays or the disappointments in life as God not loving you, friend. Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend." 1 John 3:16, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us." I know that some of us are going through difficulties. But if you ever doubt his love, there's one place you need to look. You need to look at the cross. Because friend, how much more can he prove to you that he loves you? He's on your side. Now, I haven't answered your questions, have I? I haven't told you why you're going through difficulty, have I? Mm-mm. I'm not going to go there. No easy answers on that. But I can tell you one thing. He cares about you. He loves you. He does. And so, even Pastor Larry this morning's wonderful message in the Sunrise service. You know, sometimes you want God to snap his finger and fix your problems, when what he wants to do, Larry talked about him coming alongside of us. Sometimes that's how he wants to do it and help us go through it. As Larry was talking about that, I was thinking about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Parakletos, the one called alongside to help. Just don't make the mistake, friend, of thinking that he doesn't love you. Oh my gosh, that's so wrong. Let's go on. Verse 7. "Then after this, he said to the disciples, 'Let us go to Judea again.' The disciples said to him, 'Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you're going there again?' Jesus answered, 'Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him.'" Huh, what's he talking about? The disciples think he's crazy because the last time they were down in the Jerusalem area, everybody wanted to kill him. So why are you going back? And what Jesus is simply saying is that if you walk around in the daytime, you don't tend to stub your toe on things, do you? Because you got light. You can see things. If you're walking around the same paths at night, oh, you might stumble and might stub your toe, correct? Well, Jesus, friends, he's the light of the world. And he's not making a stupid decision. He's making the right decision. They don't need to question what he's doing here. Verse 11, "These things he said, and after that he said to them, 'Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up.' Then his disciples said, 'Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well.' However, Jesus spoke of his death. but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Now, he talks about Lazarus as sleeping. It is hard to lose a loved one. It is. And especially if you've been at a bedside and you've been there in those last moments and they stop breathing, it doesn't seem earth-shattering. It seems more like they fell asleep. I remember when my dad died. It was 7 years ago. And it just looked like he was asleep, except the chest wasn't going. And I kept thinking that I was going to see the chest go up and down, and it wasn't. He was gone. It looks like he was sleeping. The Bible talks for death of the as the believer as sleep. It's as peaceful as sleep. That's is the guy dead or is he asleep? Friends, sometimes we're afraid of things we shouldn't be afraid of. Death for the believer is not a tragedy. Not at all. The Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. My goodness, they're going into the presence of Jesus as you are there. That's a wonderful thing. Verse 16, then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Yes, he's a manly man, Thomas. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. So Jesus shows up at Bethany, and Lazarus is dead and buried. He's been buried for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. Now, it's the Jewish custom, it still is, to bury a person on the same day. You die and that's it. They do this, and the Arabs do this as well. The Muslims do this as well. You will see this in the Middle East when they have funerals. A person dies and that day they have a funeral. Now, Jesus had been down by the Jordan River. Here's Jerusalem, Bethany, Jericho. Here's the Jordan River. Jesus had been down in the Jordan River area. We know this from John chapter 10. It's about a day's journey from Jerusalem, and Bethany is where Lazarus is. And so a messenger is sent from Bethany day one. Day one, they send the messenger. So it's taken 1 day since when Jesus gets the message. Jesus doesn't respond right away. So there go by 2 days and 3 days. It's another day for Jesus to get to Bethany, and he arrives 4 days after they sent the message. And when they sent the message, he was just sick. But we know now that he died right after that because he'd already been dead and buried for 4 days. So he died the same day the message was sent. Verse 19, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, and Mary was sitting in the house. And Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If you had been here. I don't think it's a stretch to think that she's just a little bit upset with him. Don't you think? You know, in fact, when you dive into the language, she goes out to meet him. The language is the language of armies going out to meet in battle. You know, she's just armed to the teeth to go meet Jesus. You know, but I got to tell you, you watch how Jesus handles these sisters because they both respond the same way. But he doesn't get upset. He doesn't say, "You bunch of idiots, when are you gonna trust me?" No, that's what I would have done. I would have slapped them up. No, I wouldn't have slapped them. No, because they're women. You don't slap them. I don't want to do that. But I would have maybe a head slap, you know, or something. What's with this, you know? You know what? Jesus can handle you being upset with him for a while. But shame on us when we stay upset at him. Don't stay upset. You're not helping yourself. Verse 22. she says, but even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day. That's at the end of time. Yeah. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? We'll come back to these verses in the end. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. He was outside of town. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she's going to the tomb to weep there. So this is why we're going to have witnesses to this event, because they all followed. Then when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Why did he weep? Perhaps some have suggested he was weeping at their unbelief. There was some disappointment at Jesus for showing up late, and some were blaming him for Lazarus's death. Perhaps he was weeping at being reminded of sin's consequences. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, every man, every woman has experienced the consequence of sin, which is death. Perhaps he was weeping at that. Sin leads to death. But perhaps it was sympathy for Martha and Mary's grief. Jesus is very much affected by what goes on in your life. Don't think that he doesn't care. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, for the rest of the passage, this gives me a little chance to catch my breath. We're going to watch the rest of the passage.
My brother would not have died.
Jesus saw her weeping, and he saw how the people with her were weeping also. His heart was touched, and he was deeply moved.
Where have you buried him?
Come and see, Lord.
Jesus wept. See how much he loved him, the people said. But some of them said, he gave sight to the blind man, didn't he? Could he not have kept Lazarus from dying? Deeply moved once more, Jesus went to the tomb, which was a cave with a stone placed at the entrance.
Take the stone away.
There will be a bad smell, Lord. He has been buried 4 days.
Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believed?
Thank you.
they took the stone away. Jesus looked up.
I thank you, Father, that you listen to me. I know that you always listen to me. But I say this for the sake of the people here, so that they will believe that you sent me.
After he had said this, he called out in a loud voice,
Lazarus! Come out!
He came out. His hands and feet wrapped in grave clothes. With a cloth round his face.
Untie him and let him go.
Many of the people who had come to visit Mary saw what Jesus did, and they believed in him.
Wow. Let's go back to verse 25 and 26. We'll wind this up. So Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? I am the resurrection and the life. The Jews had hints about resurrection. They've had them. They'd had them for centuries. In fact, we read today in Psalm 16. That's the reason I picked that for our reading today. David wrote that 1,000 years before Jesus. And the apostles, over and over, as you read through the book of Acts, this is one of their favorite passages to quote, is Psalm 16, that you will not leave your beloved abandoned in Sheol, that he's not going to stay dead. They knew this was nothing new. Friends, Jesus is the key to life after death. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he said, he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Well, talk about living forever, friends. Now, this verse used to get me a little confused, because if he talks about living forever, then how come people are dying? That's because people will die. And for the last 2,000 years, everyone who has believed in Jesus to this point has died. Though he may die, he says, he shall live. He didn't say that we would never experience physical death. In the phrase in verse 26 where he says, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die, we have to be careful with that, because the phrase shall never die in the Greek is literally will not die unto eternity. I don't know why they say translate it as never die, because you kind of get the feeling that it's just a simple negative in front of it, that you will not die. No, it's actually a double negative, will not absolutely die, and then unto eternity. Friends, dying unto eternity, we call that the second death. That is going to hell. That is going to hell. And the one who believes, even though you may die, you are not going to go to hell, which is eternal separation from God. If Jesus does not return in our lifetime, every single one, this is such a downer. I know Easter's supposed to be all up and bunny rabbits and Easter lilies and stuff like this, but I got news for you. Unless Jesus comes back today or in the next 30, 40 years or whatever, I think, in this room. I don't know. Some of you are very young. So, but every single one of us is going to die. Every single one of us. But death isn't the end. It is not the end. I guess some of you might wonder, was I afraid when I had my heart attack? You know, did I think I was going to die? I was wondering whether I was going to die. I'm hearing now they're saying, oh, it was just a mild heart attack. You know, so it wasn't all that serious, I guess. But you think about that, with the pain, the chest, the pressure, the sweating, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I wasn't afraid. I got to tell you, I'm not because I'm some kind of a hero. I think the thing I was worst, I think things that I was sad about was going to miss my wife, going to miss watching my kids grow further. I want to say grandkids, you know. I worry about you as a church. And there are things I still want to do, I want to see, places I want to go, things I want to do. I would think about those things, but worry about dying, I honestly, God is my witness, not one whit. Because I know where I'm going. Because I believe in Jesus. And Jesus said, if you believe in him, you will not go to hell. Death for the believer just simply means you go into God's presence in your spirit. There will be a day when we will get a new body. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. That's the resurrection. That's the resurrection we will all experience. But this will only happen for those who believe in Jesus. Why is it important to believe in Jesus? Friend, your sin, my sin, our rebellion requires God to judge us. God is not a... Don't you hate it when some horrible, completely guilty jerk gets off free because he's got fancy lawyers? Don't you hate that when you read that in the news? Does anybody else get upset with that? Come on. Let me see. Okay, oh, good. At least three or four of you do. Okay. Well, you know what? I got news for you. God is not that judge. God will judge, and he will do things completely correct, and everyone who is guilty will be punished. But see, the problem is we're all guilty. You and I think about some person that's worse than us. Oh, well, I'll wait till they get judged. Wait till they stand before God. You know what? The problem is we're all going to stand before God. Our sin separates from us. And the penalty of sin is death. It starts with a physical death, but it's eternal death in hell. Friends, this is what Jesus did. He died on the cross to pay the penalty of our sins. That's why he died. That's why we call last Friday Good Friday. Because he paid for you. He died for you. Isaiah prophesied 700 years before Jesus. Drew was reading this on Friday. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. God had it planned out a long, long time ago that Jesus would pay for you. And that's why you need to believe in him. When Jesus rose from the dead, he proved to the world that he paid for your sins. It's not like he you had a bill due at the cash register and he went up to pay your bill. And your bill was $95.16. And he fishes through his pockets, $95.10, 15 cents. Oh, here's a penny, 16 cents. Oh, just enough. No. He's got like a $1,000 bill that he brings in, and he's got plenty. He's got so much life that he paid for your bill and he came back from the dead. The resurrection proves this. The Easter story, that's what it's all about. Some of you may think that this is just all myth. I got news for you. You're an idiot if you think this is a myth. I'm sorry if I offended you, but it's true. You need to do your homework. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead is one of the best attested stories, historical events in history. There are more witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus, the historicity, the truth of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, than just about any other event in history, more than Napoleon and all kinds of... Look, it is true. The question is, are you going to trust God? That's the issue. Suppose you die today. I've been around death a lot lately. Suppose you die today. I didn't know I was going to have a heart attack. Well, I kind of had little warnings like the week before. But other than that, I didn't know. Suppose I had gone. Suppose you're gone. And you are standing before the throne of God. The Bible says it is appointed unto every man once to die, and then comes judgment. You will stand before God. And God says to you, why in the world should I let you into heaven? How will you answer? Think carefully, because your eternity depends on it. Well, I lived a pretty good life. Well, I kept the Ten Commandments. Well, there you just proved one the wrong. Thou shalt not lie. I think the only correct answer is something like this. Father, I was counting on Jesus. I was counting on Him that He paid for me. I think this is what it means to believe on Jesus. Or even in the Greek, it's to believe into Jesus. I'm counting on You, Lord. We sing a great song Dave does. I'm counting on Your name, counting on Your name, counting on Your name to save me. Not counting on me. I'm counting on You. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. And in a minute, I'm going to give you a chance to receive it if you've not received it. Because I got news for you. If I got one message to give you today, it's this. I want to see you in heaven with me. I do very, very much. Now, one and a half more things. He says, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The words are present tense. And I want to talk about living now. The resurrection, and Pastor Larry talked about this. I love this. It's like we were planning this or something. The resurrection is more than just a reminder that Jesus paid for us and for our eternity, in our future in eternity. It gives us a hint at the power available to you and I to live lives that are pleasing to God, lives that are honoring to God. Jesus had said that Lazarus was sleeping, right? Except he didn't have the sleep apnea thing. He wasn't snoring. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the kids were reminding us that the disciples were sleeping, and when they should have been awake. And so I want to ask you to think about this. Have you been sleeping? There are times when we need to be awake in life, like this. Now, I don't know if any people were actually injured in the filming of that. That's pretty rough, isn't it? Whoa, okay. Yeah, it's not good to be asleep when you're driving, is it? Maybe you are in need of a wake-up call today. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, we should be living now. Life requires that we wake up. Paul writes in Romans 13, and do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and in drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. It's time to wake up, friends. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming. There are people all around us that need to hear about Jesus. And God wants to work in your life. God wants to help you change some things. And the power to change is kind of connected to the resurrection. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He will give life to you. Let Him do this. The word that Jesus uses for life, it isn't simple biological life. There's two Greek words for life. There's bios, which we get our word biology from, bios, but there's also the word zoe, or the verb is zao, to live, to breathe, to enjoy real life, active life, blessed life, endless in the kingdom of God, to be fresh, to be strong. In the hospital, one of my nurses, on one of the mornings, they introduced her to me, and her name was Zoe. If you know anybody named Zoe, it's based on this word, zao or zoe. It's life. It's real life. It's eternal life. Jesus used the same word in John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Friends, it's resurrection life. Is it time for you to wake up? Is it time to make some changes? Jesus said, do you believe this? And that's the last thing. Believe. Are you ready to put your life in His hand? As the worship team comes up, I've got one last video to play. Stay sitting. Everybody just sit down. Yeah, there we go. And we'll have the worship team come up. Just watch the last video. Sorry.
What kind of man welcomes the company of the hurting, helpless, and the hopeless?
What kind of a man can heal the pain with a single soft touch?
What kind of a man multiplies hope and freedom as easily as he does fish and bread?
Who else can turn our dusty old religion into a brand new relationship?
What kind of man would claim to be God in the flesh, but then allow that same flesh to be torn apart?
What kind of a man would embrace betrayal?
Insults.
Torture.
Mockery.
And death.
And yet, live to tell about it.
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody.
Who could speak with such authoritative words and yet drench them with compassion?
Who could be strong enough to still the storms, yet be so meek and humble?
Who could allow the hands that created the universe to also be nailed into a wooden cross?
Who could choose patience despite deserving immediate and complete obedience?
Who could be blameless and without fault, but still endure the judgment others deserve?
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody. Who will love us like Him?
Who will be with us when all others have left?
Who comforts us in suffering? Who is our peace in the midst of anxiety?
Who reassures me when my mind is drowning in doubt?
Who accepts me as I am, with no strings attached?
Who else would die for me while I was sinking in sin?
Who else can turn the grave into Easter morning?
Nobody.
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 Nobody but Jesus.
Let's stand.